Good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Sparrow with the Rochelle Sparrow Psychic Connection. I am so glad that you are all with us. We are just climbing in the ratings. I am just so excited about this show, and I just want to thank Don Newsome again for allowing this wonderful connection with all of you. So I thank you, and I thank him, and thank you, thank you, thank you. We have a wonderful guest with us this evening, Robbie Thomas. And he is just going to be fascinating to speak with. He's a psychic, a paranormal investigator, an author. His books are going to be available in the U.S. coming shortly. So I'm really excited to bring him on. But before I do that, I want to tell you a little bit about me, what I am. For you new listeners, I got to have more coffee, folks, this morning and this evening. What I do is I'm a psychic trance channel, and what that means is that I bring in balls of light from my guides, and they unzip in my mind, and out pops a word in a psychic trance state. And my guides also send me energies for me to interpret as well. The information that I give is about your aura, is about your vibration, and how you are creating your life from the inside out. And my guides also provide you with the most optimal information about your vibration so that you can strengthen that vibration and create your most optimal life. I'd like to answer a question this evening, and this is from T.S., and he states that he would like to know about his goal in his life and how does his family and friends influence him about it. Let's see what the guides have to state. T.S. is incorrect in any concern or doubt about his achievement, and the energy with that is with goal, in that his being, it's a mechanical energy is coming in here. Some types of mechanics that he has great involvement with, and I'm also getting the sensory perception of him tinkering on something small. I'm getting watch energy, in that his ability is very detailed and with strength, and that he's able, it feels like, to figure out the mechanics and operations. Okay, thank you, guys. I'm also getting with in a large corporation as well. In other words, how the format and formulation of operation fits in together so that his being is equipped to supervise, it feels like, large staff. I'm also getting administrative energy along with this and also finance energy, as well as tinker in small details to see how operations or mechanics fit together. In this regard, we will speak that he is at strength or strong in his ability to connect with others and supervise, okay, the mechanics, thank you guys, of how they complete a task or job. So that we suggest he honors this particular unique ability of his own to supervise others mechanically, as well as, it feels like, supervise self or engage self in small detailed mechanisms of life. And that is his particular unique ability to explore in this particular lifetime. Thank you, T.S., for sending in that question. I appreciate it. And thank you, Robbie Thomas, for being on this evening. Thank you so much.
And how are you?
I am just doing fabulous. You know, folks, I just want to share with you. I just had a detailed reading with Robbie, and he's really very cool, and he's very gifted at what he does. And my guides say that he is gifted not only in sensory perception, but also as a visionary, being able to draw energies from the past in a very clear manner, as well as future energies, and also from other individuals or people that have passed on from the other side. So I just I appreciate your talents, and I appreciate your being with us this evening. So thank you. Why don't you tell us about what you do?
What I do? That is a huge forum.
Well, we have a whole hour.
but in the scope of me, it's so little, you know. No, that's a great question. I'm an author, and what I do is I like to approach individuals and show them the empowerment of themselves. From the inner self, we all have the ability to feel, to sense, to love, to have the understanding, the complete acceptance of spiritualism. We're all spiritual beings brought on to this level of life from the level of life back home. People tend to take the initiative and put that in the back of their head, but put it in such a way that it's just a minuscule little bit. If we all became more aware of who we are and open up to be acceptant, the endless possibilities that there are in this life, it's just tremendous.
Yeah, and how do people go about doing that? For example, you know, one of my questions, and I always think that this is a great question, because we as psychics have to go through our own process at some point in our lives of validating who and why and what we are. And people have to do that generally speaking. So what would be your process and how that combines with what you affirm in other people?
I always tell people the best way to do things, if you have a situation that becomes instituted in your life, an event, I always say, grab a journal, write down, give it a title, write down what your feelings were, tell exactly what went on, and log it, and then make a little footnote at the bottom that you're going to revisit this as a reflection. Later on, you might get it again. Ask your guides. You spoke about your guides. Guides are the in thing, the angels, the guides. They're part of us. We take our guides, our angels, our inner self. It's one great team, and we can take that and look back into our journal, reflect, see the notes we have made, see the progress where we've come from. People tend to think, we'll take a little baby step and look at intuition. You think the telephone's going to ring, and it does. Well, right away, people think, wow, that is so cool. It's been a part of you. It's inside you. It's instilled since the time you came from home. You think of a song, and it pops on the radio, and you think to yourself, oh, my gosh, how is this so? And then the same thing goes for television programs or a friend that you've thought of before, and they knock on the door. These are our little baby steps to intuition that is part of spiritualism. And when I say to help yourself, look and revisit all these situations that have happened over the years, over the month, over the day. Look in your journal, reflect back, and you'll see the progress in your inner self.
And I think that you bring up a good point. Oh, my God, how can this be so? So how do people deal with that awesome, awesome power of the source moving through them? Because I know that people get scared. So what would you recommend to how people can cope with that type of fear?
Right, right. Everybody tends to take things differently in life. They tend to take a look at what you just said, fear. They become bewildered. They become the quest of more knowledge. They want to know what is beyond the scope of what is happening now. Take a look within oneself. Don't have to put no pressure on yourself. Just take your time. Look and learn. Listen really deep from inside. The self-empowerment of you resides within you. Listen really closely to your inner self. Your soul will never lie to you. You'll never be put in a situation where you are tested dramatically, where then you falter. When people put their faith in check and they test each other themselves, they are looking for the knowledge of more. So when we do that, our faith is there. We never get a lost position. We become displaced sometimes in the realm of looking for more information, wondering why and how not to be fearful and what have you. When we have our faith in check, we're doing just right. We are on the right path.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really important point, is to always move inside instead of outside to the energy of faith and trust that energy regardless of what's happening outside, so that you can feel it and know it and just allow that energy to be confirmation.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. It's a part of you. You've grown from a child to an adult, but yet we're still children. In order to be a good teacher, first one has to be a good student. And in order to be a good student, you have to listen well. Learning and listening from the inside out is the best way.
Did you ever doubt your own abilities?
You know, as a child growing up, the only way I doubted my ability was I used to think outward, thinking what people thought of me, what they thought of what was going on. So it was kept a secret, thinking that people would think you're a freak. We've all been down this road. People who have intuitional values always think this. I'm scared. I'm not going this forward.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shame in that, because we are all spiritual beings.
Yeah, that's really true. When I was out at the Learning Annex in San Diego and L.A. teaching at the end of the month, I thought it was just so much fun, that experience. But one of the things that came to me as I was listening to people talk about their own doubt and fear is to just tell them that they're crazy. So I stood up there and I said, you know what? You're all crazy, aren't you? and that was the hidden fear.
That's right.
And then they started saying, nope, we're not. I said, you're not?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. It's the balance between fighting the, I'm going to use a term, good and bad. It's the inner fight. You people put more energy and time into trying to find a reason to fight what's ominous, like the good ominous inside you. Let it out.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why that is. What is that fight about?
It's the fear. It goes back to being the fear again. The fear of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
In this life, people should understand that when you accept yourself, that's all that matters. You are number one in this life. God has given you the right, R-I-T-E, the right to have spirit within you. He has given it to you. It's yours. There is no man or anyone who can take that from you. This is you. Express yourself. Love yourself unconditionally. And then when you do that inside to yourself, it generates a blossom of a bouquet of everything for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they become absorbed into what you are.
Yeah. What a beautiful way to express that. I just love that. That is very cool.
That's neat, eh?
Yeah. Tell us about your most interesting experiences. And you are doing such fascinating work. I really want people to know about it because you're on radio, you're on television. So just tell people about your investigations and what you're up to.
Oh, okay. Sure. I do paranormal investigations, and I go to the home. I read the people who were passed on in the home and give the information to the people who are living there now. The scope of the work entails the fact if I went to a home, ceiling fans would be going just like a poltergeist into a home. We are the people who invade their realm. They feel like they are trapped here and they have died suddenly or what have you. Their entities, their spirit are stuck here. So therefore, I read the people's home and the individuals who are passed on. I give the information to the people who own the home at the present. They do a research later on and find out the names and the dates and everything are all validated and what have you. Then I go back or even on that day and release the energy to go home, to go to the light, to go to God, because their family waiting, they're loved. Being stuck in a morbid state is very difficult. It's saddening. They want solace. They want reprieve. They want to have that sense of belonging as well. They don't want to see why are we invading their home, their inhabitants. So that's why we got to help our brothers and sisters who are actually passed on, but they're still our brothers and sisters regardless, and help them to get home.
So what happens that makes one spirit stuck and not another? Like, from my understanding of these particular realms, and I don't particularly dive into them. I'm fascinated with them, but it's not my particular expertise. But I know that from what I've heard, and maybe you can confirm this, that there's a lot of angels and guides who come from the other side, and even pets do, I'm getting energetically, that come from the other side to help point somebody home. So is there a rejection of this type of help that keeps them stuck, or are they feel like they have unfinished business, or what exactly happens?
Sometimes a spirit will become, I'm going to use quote-unquote, possession of the home, or say an item like a sword. If an individual committed a murder many centuries ago with the sword and felt the need for repentance from doing that, will become attached to that sword. It's not evil spirit. It's just the ill will that came with that thought of the action of killing that individual. So they become attached to that sword. I know it's a little far-fetched to understand that, but that's what happens. They become attached to that sword or the home. Then we'll go to the home aspect of it, was where a person might have died. One paranormal investigation I did, I walked in, I said, oh my gosh, I could feel the heat in this kitchen. There was a fire here. And the family confirmed there was a fire. They remodeled the home, and as they were doing that, they seen the burnt all behind the walls. And I said, the lady of the home wants me to go stand on the stairwell. So I went to stand on the stairwell. And in that area, there was a four-foot walk forward, and you were into another room through a doorway. The crew was standing on the doorway, comfortable, warm, and nothing wrong. I was on this third step. You can see my breath. It was freezing cold in there. And I told him, I said, Elizabeth is standing right behind me. When I move, I want you to just take this picture because you're going to capture her. And so when I moved, they snapped. They got her face. They caught her face. But it would have been about shoulder height of me, right behind me. The fact that she was stuck there, was she died in this fire suddenly. There was foul play involved. And when they went to research the home afterwards, they took a look and seen that she was married to an individual named Frederick. And not even less than a year later, Frederick, in those days, you had to put the male and the female name down on the registry. And he remarried right away. He had another lady's name. That's where I picked up the foul play. And so her spirit was stuck there because it was like a sudden passing to her and not understanding what was going on. So she was stuck and looking for resolve and wondering why.
Okay, so other people that come on the other side, like guides and angels, to help her cross, does that happen, first of all?
Yeah, guides, yes, most definitely, as you're aware, our guides and angels are there to assist us.
Okay, so they tried to assist her, and she said, I need to stay here until I understand what's happening?
It became a point of a learning, of a lesson. Regardless in life of what we do, if we, I'm going to use suicide as an example. Suicide. My friend, before I married my wife, I lived with him. And after a while, he committed suicide. It took him a long time to come through to me. But what he showed me was, from the other side, there's a level of learning and love that is being instilled into him so that he can learn to love himself and to realize what he did was a mistake, but to still to love himself. There is no limbo. There is no black void. And what it is the fact that we learn to love and understand the realm of life here so we can take lessons back there and learn from that and pass them on. Now, she is trapped here in this life. She's learning a lesson of what has happened. It may have taken a little bit longer for her to understand. Spirits come and go.
What did she need to understand, Robbie?
She was murdered. And to understand the fact that her life was taken, and in an instant where she wasn't aware of what was going on, her life was taken. Some spirits then want to know why, and they stick around to find out why. They look for their loved ones trying to understand. Now, when I started to tell Elizabeth that what was going on tapes that we had planted around the home, you could hear her mournfully crying. She was mournfully crying about five times.
Wow.
When I told her to leave, she spoke the words, the truth, in a whisper. So she knew what I was talking about, that it was time for her to go. And sure enough, she did. She left.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, let me ask you this. The people, like, I watch, my daughter and I are very interested in a lot of these shows that are on television. I won't mention the name, but is it unethical for people to go to investigate these homes without helping the energies transpire and move over to the other realm?
Yes, that's like saying, that's a very good point, Rochelle. That's a very good point. That, I'm going to interject a little something different here, too.
Yeah,
that's like saying,
please do.
I'm going to do a murder case, and I'm going to charge you astronomical amount of money just to help you out during this murder case. I find that if an individual has to do certain things in life to help other people, there's costs involved, sure, but you don't, with the word, quote-unquote, gouge people. Now, let's go back to the fact what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, to go and to fulfill your own quest into doing a paranormal investigation or into a murder case or whatever, and not releasing those people and giving them peace and solace, well, you're only taking for yourself. That's bad karma.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me, too.
That's right. That's right. You have to give. In this life, it's not what you get out of life. It's what you put into life that matters.
And the other thing is, at least these poor souls recognize, but without solace.
That's right. That's right. Not only do they need reprieve, but in the end, if you or I walked away from that situation, we would stew about this, and it would be something like a nail in our coffin. It would be there bugging us and bugging us. We need to find the reprieve as well. We're here for a reason. We're here to help, not to hinder.
Okay, so you're saying a lot of these people may not recognize that they're carrying away this energy, and they may recognize it on a subconscious level that there's more to be done with this energy, but they're not doing it.
Amen. You're right. Again, there
Wow. You go.
Wow. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Right. So that's really interesting spiritually, Robbie, because a lot of these shows are being put out there right now. So I'm just wondering about the larger purpose of that. In other words, it's a wonderful thing that the media is opening up to these types of investigations and psychic phenomena, and that there is evidence, like you mentioned, about the voice recordings. I think they're called EVPs.
That's correct.
And I think that is all very interesting. But I'm just wondering about what is the larger spiritual purposes of this right now. And maybe part of it is just to get this information known. But the other part of it is, of course, all of this going inside and mirroring and validating our own selves in terms of our own information. Anyway, can you speak to that?
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. It's like looking on the shelf, okay, and seeing fiction and nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the fiction, it's a very good fairy tale. When you look at the nonfiction, and I'm not saying all books, but you look at the fiction, you want to see humanistic avenues. You want to see true realism. Now, when we put it into the Hollywood, quote-unquote, perspective,
right,
you see all these shows out there. I don't want to point fingers,
right,
or anything, or name names.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a little bit forecasted. And then, therefore, we take a look at that, and it's going to be overdone. And people are going to get a bad idea and sensory of what is really the realm of spiritualism. It's like watching a show where a minister says, oh, we love you so much, send in all your money and you're healed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is totally wrong. The point I'm trying to get across is the fact, if we're here for a reason, it's here to help. It's not here to hinder. And therefore, when people put these shows out there and they just flog the stations, and there's people listening. Yeah, that's true. Then you're going to get skeptics that are going to go around and start saying, oh, this isn't right. Look at, you know, they're just out to do this, and look at the resolve. Where is the resolve? There always has to be a happy medium. There always has to be the truth behind everything. A person should take a look and see. It's like checking out somebody's credentials. Make sure they're for real, for real. Don't just jump into something and think, oh, my gosh, look at that show, you know, and, oh, look, at I'm turning on another show. There's just too many of them on there, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
There are the real ones, and then there's the ones that make it like Hollywood. And they're taking a true aspect of everybody's life and making it cartoonish. And I was asked a question once when I was on television, and the individual said to me, what do we call you by, psychic, medium, clairvoyant? And I said, you know, this is my own personal preference, by the way. I said, you know, to me, they're titles, and I don't like going by titles. I feel my name is Rob. I was given a name when I was here and was called Rob, and that's what I go by. We're all spiritualists because in the realm of spirituality, we live it, and it's inside of us. So therefore, those titles and whatever, I get this picture, and hopefully you get the picture too, of a gypsy sitting down. She's wearing purple. She's got all these necklaces and beads all over her, and she's a fortune teller, and it's carnivalish. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that aspect of it. So on TV, when they put all these shows out like that, that's what it's becoming, and I know that there's a lot of people feeling this. And it's the wrong way.
Yeah, you know, it's coming to me as you're talking about this. I think that this is fascinating. And I also want to talk about more of your cases, but we'll have you on again, audience. So look for him again. But what is coming to me is I find myself, which I just recalled as I'm listening to you, going to these particular places, especially with children, and moving my energy there so that I could help bring them to the light. So, of course, I'm wondering, in terms of the karma, you're talking about the investigators, but all of the audience as well is drawn into this.
Oh, most definitely. It's like a cesspool. They're drawn so much into the realm of, again, we'll go to the Hollywood theme. If they kept a show real and for real and showed the purpose of what's going on with that individual, what goes on during the individual, and the conclusion, and see the humanistic value, the value of human that's involved in these stories, people love that. They rather read realism than read fiction.
Right. Yeah, so people got to know, if you are out there and if you're watching these shows, to send healing light and energy to the people that have passed over to help them pass over. And the other thing that came to me is the word discrimination. And a lot of what we're watching and opening up to, thank God. So this is all serving a purpose, which thank God, thank you, Source, that I'm so thankful to see is that it is opening up the realm to allowing all of our abilities and all of what's happening out there to come forth and to be open. And that is a great thing. So we're going to experience the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, which is a wonderful thing, because then we can choose. We can discriminate about what we want to experience and what we don't want to experience or don't want to have in our life. So all of this information that's coming forth over the media is a wonderful thing right now, because it's going to allow us again to make those kinds of choices as to what we want to do with this. Where do we want to go from here? What is for our better good, your better good, the better good of the world, the better good of the universe? So we need to bring in those discriminatory judgments or
discretion.
Intent. Thank you. That's a better word. Thank you. Into our vocabulary, into our minds, into our thoughts, so that we can begin to influence what we are put in service for, which I believe is what you're trying to say.
That's right.
Because it's an echoing back to us what we need to do.
Exactly. It's the learning of the separation. The separating of the good and the bad, looking for what is real, what you want out of life, the fun of the inner self and the realm of spirituality is the total love for every living thing in the universe.
Mm-hmm. So it all serves a purpose in love.
It does.
And when you make those kinds of discriminatory choices, Is that a word? I don't know. But when you do, it's not saying that one is better than the other, but that one has served a purpose to make another different choice.
That's right. That's right. We don't point or make judgments. We just make a protocol. We know what is right, and we want to stand by it. We want what is... It's like going grocery shopping. If you can find a jug of milk for $4, and you go to the next store, and it's the same jug of milk for $2, which one are you going to get?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a poor analogy, but, I mean, it serves the purpose of showing you that it's... you want what is real. That milk might be sour at $4, and the other one might be better off at $2. It's what preference, what is real for you, what is real for the inside of the individual. That's what it's all about.
I'm talking to Robbie Thomas. He's a wonderful paranormal investigator and a spiritualist that does psychic readings for people out there. And if you could give people the information first of your website, how to get a hold of you, your phone number, and your books, I'd appreciate that, and the audience would too.
Oh, sure. www.robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, Thomas, thomas.net. That's my website. We have a chat line, bulletin board. You can come in there and meet a lot of people. There's a lot of good doctrine on the board. Also, my phone number, my office phone number is 1-area code 519-337-8333. My books, I have 6 to date. One is called A Link to Heaven, Chats with the Other Side. You can get that at any Indigo, Kohl's, or Chapter Store nationwide in Canada. Barnes & Noble in the United States are actually looking at this now, wanting to pick it up. My second book that's coming out very shortly that I just actually got picked up by a major American publishing company is called Blessings from Within and Beyond. They deal with the realm of finding the inner self, the validation. There's actual raw readings in there. There's a nice, beautiful humanistic story. We were talking about humanistic stories. I had the Vatican, the White House, the Portuguese government, the Israelis, and the Canadian government all involved, and we were trying to save a lady's life. So there's a humanistic, spiritualistic venue in that story that's very touching. It'll open up and show people how that each and every one of us carry this within us, and we can do this. It's about living. There's a 2 dream volume set book that'll be coming out very shortly. I have an inspirational daily read. They're all very, very entailed one-page readings. You read them. They're very inspirational. I have True Crime, which are murder cases I work on, and missing people. That'll be coming out shortly after that. And I have paranormal investigations I do. That'll be coming out shortly after that. So there's a big lineup of books that are coming out. There's many radio shows I'll be on, and also television shows coming back up pretty soon.
And you're welcome to mention the radio shows and the television shows you're going to be on.
Oh, okay. I'll be going back on Dr. Jimmy's show and the ASPR radio station, or APSR radio station. I will be going on, actually, a major film producer who does for NBC, CBS, Arts and Entertainment Channel, the History Channel, has been talking with me and wanting to put me on as a guest spot on TNT. They got a new show coming out, so look forward for that. Also, I'll be back with you.
Oh, yes, you will.
And that's going to be one fantastic show, or shows that more we can book. That'll be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to be with Eddie Middleton, and that's with the Night Search radio show in Tennessee. There's many things that are coming up. It's a full slot full of people that I'll be meeting and shows that I'll be doing right from now till Christmas time.
Very cool. So tell us about the Vatican story.
Yeah. I met this lady once. And I just was drawn to her. I was on vacation in the Azores, and I was very drawn to her. And for some reason, I come home, I just knew something was up, and I placed the call out back to the Azores, and sure enough, she was dying. She had liver complications, and all she needed was simple medication. It would have reversed the effect. The doctor started talking to me personally from the island. So I started to arouse the energies of the White House, the Vatican, the governments I mentioned, and started getting doors shut. And then finally I started to step up and be the little guy against the giant, and the Vatican started to open up a little bit more. The White House and the senators in Michigan started to open up a little bit more. The Canadian government cut the red tape and gave her a visa access to come to Canada. I lined up doctors that were going to do the operation and help her for free. There was an interpreter from Spain that was coming. Canada 3000 airline gave tickets for them to come for free, the family, the doctor over there in the Azores, and what have you. It was just the purpose of getting her here and saving a human being's life. Tessera Island was a 20-minute little flight. The American Air Force base there on Tessera Island would have been ample. They could have helped her, but red tape, too much red tape, so we had to bring her to Canada. Unfortunately, she passed away. The lesson goes to show that at least people in the interim started to open up and realize within themselves that human life is very, very much appreciable and precious. We can go and have wars and have all these other things that are going on in the world, but to save one individual meant a lot. Like I said, she went on to pass. She had two lovely girls and a husband. The story is a very well detailed story. It explains everything. Just shows a humanistic way of trying to get everybody to pull together. It almost worked, and the Canadian government actually read my book and sent a letter saying that it's truly an inspiring story. So that book's coming out very shortly.
Well, God bless her on the other side, and God bless your efforts too. That's wonderful that you placed your intent in the right place and tried to help her as best as you could. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
So God bless you too, Robbie.
Thank you. Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you. What is your most, you know, there is that story that you told me about the cemetery in the, I think it was a bog, that you said that people were buried in somebody's backyard, a friend of yours' backyard.
Yeah, I got called to do a paranormal investigation on this home. And I'm laughing because it's quite funny. He says, I see an apparition, and my mother-in-law lives upstairs, and she's seeing it, and we're really being bugged by this. The lady keeps slamming my daughter's door, her bedroom door. What do I do? So I said, well, let me come over and take a peek at this. So I go, and I feel her energy, and I feel there's not so much anger, but there's acknowledgement. She wanted to be acknowledged. And I turned to him, and I said, oh, my gosh, look at that tree outside. That's the most ungodly-looking tree I've ever seen. It had, like, faces on it, and it was just the ugliest tree you could ever see. And he goes, yeah, I know. It's been there, and Grandma, he calls her Grandma. That's his mother-in-law. Doesn't like the tree, so we shut the curtains there, and we don't look out that way. I said, you know, to me, that's a marker, and I feel that there's bodies buried here. Mm. And he starts laughing at me, and I said, no, I'm serious. There's bodies buried here, and, you know, you're going to have to find out. He goes, well, in the spring when I do my water lines, because I have to change my water lines, I'm going to be digging there, and if you're right, you're right. And I said, okay, well, we'll soon see. So spring rolled around, and sure enough, he's out there digging, and he called me up, so I'm over there watching this dig, and it was like clockwork. One body after another, five in a row. There was five bodies buried right there, and they had to stop. If they would have kept going, there probably would have been more. I felt there was more bodies, so the police came and taped it all off. They thought it was a murder scene and what have you to begin with. That's how they do their investigation. They brought the First Nations in. They took a look. They did a ceremony. They took the bones and went to Toronto, Canada. The forensic scientists took a look at these bones and said they were 700 years before Christ. So now we have this gentleman's yard all dug up, and he's stuck for about, I believe it was about 2 months, couldn't do nothing. We're waiting on the information from the police if they wanted to continue the dig and what have you. So finally they said, no, we're going to lay the bones and we're going to cover it up, and the First Nations came back and did another ceremony. They closed it all off. So then that spurred the big dig all in that whole waterfront area underneath the two bridges in Point Edward, all along the waterfront, all the way down through the government buildings and what have you. And it would turn out to be there was thousands of artifacts found. It was an ancient burial ground. And it was so beautiful to see the old seashell necklaces and stuff like this. But it was just amazing. And she wanted the confirmation of her being there. So after all this was done, now this is the big shocker. This is really something. That tree was hundreds of years old. And his home was the one side. There was another home on the other side of it. Lightning hit the tree, split it in half, and the tree just nearly missed both homes. Isn't that something?
Wow.
That was like a sign saying, thank you, it's done.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah, it hit the media. It was in the papers. It was on television. It was something else. It was really something.
Did they define the culture?
No, they just went back 700 years before Christ. So,
it was an undefined culture.
That was an undefined culture.
Wow, that's
Aboriginal.
An amazing story.
Yeah, Aboriginal, but undefined. Because that's going back quite a ways.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
That is. What about some of your other amazing stories?
Okay. Let's see. The murder cases. I have a murder case I worked on. The family for 31 years wanted resolve, and they just had no leads, nothing, what was going to happen. So they came to my home, and I'm talking to them with the media, and I said to them, I feel the two names, and I give the two names out. I can't actually give you the names right now because it's still, they're working on this case. And the family, two of the women that were sitting there, their jaws fell, and they couldn't believe it. And I said, for some reason, they had this gentleman. They let him go. And she says, well, I want to tell you. They had him and the friend back in 1974 in the police station. They questioned him. But back then, you have to realize, the interrogation and the ways of police back then are much different than they are today. There was no DNA and what have you. Their face fell. They couldn't believe I gave the name of the individual that she broke off with just days prior to. She called him up that night for a ride home, and it all clicked. They asked me how she died, and I told her that I seen that she was beaten with a baseball bat from side to side on the head, all down her side, all down towards her pelvic area. They were totally amazed because they thought that she was run over, and that's what they were told by the police. And I said, no, because there's going to be a female informant come forward, and this female informant's going to collaborate everything I tell you, and it's going to match. Well, didn't their face fall again? And they said, have I been talking to the police? Have anybody released any information to me? I said, no, they can't release information to me. I don't know what you're talking about. And they said, well, a female informant did come forward just a few days prior to coming to my home here. I said, well, see, there you go. And they said, you know what's funny about it? Is that she said that took her to a baseball diamond. And so the baseball bat, when I said how she was beaten to death, and the story from the informant saying they took her to a baseball field, all matched. It also matched, I told them that there was another place because they found her body in a different place. And I said, it happened elsewhere. So this all matched and came to light.
Wow.
Everything right down to almost the whole license plate. After doing this, we figured, how can we get the individual to actually come forward or to confess or something to put him in the spotlight? The murder weapon, you know, that many years is gone. I've seen where it was placed, but we can't find that area. That's the only thing missing is the murder weapon. We put in the paper that I said, personally, I want this guy. I know he goes by the graveyard. I know that's his warped way of wanting forgiveness, is by walking back and forth on certain times by her graveyard. So sure enough, it comes out in the media, 31 years. He has never spoken with the family at all about this. He starts calling the family up from one side of Canada to the next, demanding in a very strong voice, swearing to know what I said. So actually, he just placed himself in that category of, you're the guy who did it.
Wow.
Yes, spirit talks, and when spirit talks, we should all listen very closely.
Now, how do you mitigate these energies? In other words, the darker energies. When I've come across them, I just want to get away. That's my way of handling it. I just move someplace else and just leave it there. But I'm just wondering, do you have your guides mitigate these energies, or do you actually feel them? Do you go into them? Like, how is that experience for you?
I look at the energies as, some people will call them evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dark, or whatever. It's the ill will. Sometimes energies are not purposely put as ill will, but they do come across that way.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, for the greater good of learning.
Right, right.
For example.
Right, exactly. The way I approach this is I always ask for the white light of the Holy Spirit to surround me, protect
mm-hmm.
me, to give me the insight to do good and only good. If there's bad brought to me, if there's no conform, if there is no way of change or finding resolve for this energy, this ill will, then to abide by letting it go, just like you say. Let it go. That way then it kind of like I'm shielded and it bounces off me.
Okay, so it's not something that infiltrates your aura is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay, I understand. So you have recognition of it, but at a distance.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. If one is acceptant totally in life of everything and of themselves and becomes at peace, it's like saying, how many times have you traveled to this life? How many lives have you had? The more we come, the more wiser we come. The more we learn, the more wiser we become learning. So therefore, if I say I do not want to become involved or in a mediation or mitigate with this evil doing, then I'm passing it off.
Okay. The other question I have for you is, I'm trying to frame this because it's a complicated question, but these energies may not know boundaries, may be ill-intentioned, have visions of wrongdoing, and yet at the same time may wish redemption because they're deluded somehow by their ill-intentioned energy as something or as acting as a vehicle to bring them the redemption. So in other words, what I'm trying to state here, let me see if I can make it clearer, is that nobody wants to feel bad.
Right.
So even if somebody has an ill-intentioned or wrong-headed way of going about something, it is to feel better.
Right.
So how do we intervene, or is it possible to intervene with these particular energies because they can be so deluded into thinking or believing that their ill-intentioned way is the way?
Yes.
To help them pass over into the light.
Right. Ignorance is what one allows to become to you. Now, what I mean by that is if one subsides and just says, oh, the heck with it, you know, you're going to be more apt to absorb the infiltration of bad ill will, and then you'll start to feel the side effects or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
To become you, always bring purpose and positive.
Mm-hmm.
Positiveness around your aura, around your personal self, around other people. Always find an alternative way to deal with things. Don't think that you're clamored or you're stuck with one road to go down. There's always an adjacent road, a parallel road. There's always something else to take you to the right.
There's the third way.
Right.
And I think that's a very interesting conception. There's always the third way when you're faced with the polarity of two choices, and to make way for that third way. And I also think it's very interesting for our audience to hear that, because I get a lot of questions in my psychic development class about just that. Well, what do we do when we're confronted with this energy?
Right.
And how do you move? How do you deal with it? Et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And the other thing that I'm hearing in answer to my question is that they, in other words, the ill-intention energy, they can see by your intention and by your goodwill and energy that in itself is the way to go.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That's the answer.
That's right. That's right. That's like being in a room of, say, 10 people. And in that room, we have one bad apple. Now, that bad apple is going to try to sway the intrigue of everybody else in that direction so that they become a bad karma or make fun of an individual or what have you. If an individual shows upright, most respect, and good karma, good doings, those other people will not go that way, and also that bad apple will change.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been Robbie Thomas, and I just want to give Robbie's information out again. He's just fabulous, and we've had a great time with him this evening. So I want to make sure that you all have his information so that you can get a hold of him. And can you share again with the audience first what you do and your website and your phone number?
Sure, sure. I am a spiritualist, quote-unquote psychicman, if you will. My website is Robbie Thomas, that's R-O-B-B-I-E, Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, .net. You can find me in any bookstore in Canada and pretty soon in Barnes & Noble in the United States. I've been picked up by American publisher in the United States, and my second book coming out will be called Blessings from Within and Beyond. I'm an author. I do paranormal investigations. I work with police and families on murder and missing people. I do readings. I do a lot of spiritual work, advice. I do seminars. And I just go by Rob, and it's been a pleasure talking with Rochelle. She's just fascinating. I've really enjoyed this.
Oh, well, thank you. I really enjoyed having you on, and we're going to have you on again. And next time, audience, look for him at the end of December, because I'd like to have him on to give predictions for the new year, but also to have live phone calls coming on in from you to have your questions answered. So, Robbie, thank you so much again. I so appreciate you and all your goodwill that you bring to our plane.
Thank you.
And all your interesting stories and your forthcoming books, which I know are going to be a success. So thank you. And audience, thank you. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for making this program a success. I am so appreciative of you all. So thank you. I hear from our producer, Don, and thank him as well. God bless you, Don, that this show is really taking off. So I just appreciate you all. And you all have a blessed and good day from the source to you, and make your intentions of the light. Thank you all. Bye-bye now.